You're listening to Pushing the Envelope, life at the cutting edge of customs innovation. I'm Tom Muller with the Cross Border Research Association. On this show, we explore the frontiers of customs creativity in conversations with customs and logistics experts, technology innovators, research scientists, and other leaders in the field. Industry insiders call this show the PenCast because it's part of PenCP, a network for boosting customs innovation funded by the European Union under the Horizon 2020 program. Today, I'm very honored to be speaking with Dr. Kunio Mikuriya, longtime Secretary General of the World Customs Organization, who concluded his distinguished career at the WCO just a few weeks ago. Hello, Dr. Mikuriya, and welcome to Pushing the Envelope.
Hello. Thank you very much, Tom, and it is a pleasure and honor for me to speak with you.
Thank you. To start off with, could you give our listeners a word on your background and what brought you to the field of customs work and eventually to the head of the WCO?
Well, in my younger days, I worked in the Ministry of Finance in Japan. And as custom is attached to Ministry of Finance, so it is one of the area. But in 1990, I was sent to Geneva to represent the Ministry of Finance at the then on Brugge Round negotiation at the then GATT, General Agreement on Tariff and Trade. And prior to that, I was totally in the domestic field of finance, banking policy and fiscal policy. So it was really first time that I saw trade and customs. And as the GATT shows, tariff and the custom was an important area. So I was a tariff negotiator and, the round negotiation was started much earlier, it was ended in 1994. And, by that time, at the end of 1993, in June, I went back to Japan, but I became, Tokyo-based tariff negotiator. And I knew how the GATT functions, and then supported the establishment of the World Trade Organization. Therefore, I was deemed as specialist expert in the area of trade negotiation, and so I finished my job as tariff negotiator, and then I went to the Diet or Japanese Parliament to pass the package of the outcome of the Uruguayan negotiation. And then I went back to the, domestic area. It's about, budgetary supervisor for, industry and, diplomatic and also official aid policy. So that was helpful later. And then I was called back to customs because they wanted to reform customs more in tune with risk management and innovation. But also international dimension has become very important. Therefore, I worked there from 1997, and for that, I went to the WCO to see how other custom administrations were functioning in the area of compliance and enforcement. And I learned a lot, and I implemented the new policy in Japan customs. And as my background was fiscal finance, I also became a Japanese representative to WCO's finance committee. And then they asked me to become the chairperson of finance committee, and which was an honor, but that was really incorporated formally in the WCO. And at the same time, in 1999, WCO's Regional Intelligence Liaison Office, or RIDO, in the Asia Pacific, moved from Hong Kong to Tokyo. And as I was supervisor of that enforcement and the intelligence area, I supervised the Tokyo Rilo's movement. So on the international front for the Rilo and WCO's finance committee, I was deeply involved. And in 2000, and the then Secretary General of WCO asked me to join the WCO because I was I had expertise not only in customs but trade negotiation and finance. So 2001, I joined. There was an election, and I was elected as Deputy Secretary General of the WCO. And then, as you know, I started my career in the WCO 2002, and then 2008 there was a election for Secretary General, and I was elected on the basis of what I have achieved as Deputy Secretary General. So this is how I joined the WCO and became a Secretary General.
This is fascinating. And yeah, your expertise that you bring, not only in finance and banking, but also fiscal policy and trade negotiations made it a very, very good package for you to join the WCO. Culturally, your home country, Japan, obviously an island nation, an industrial and commercial powerhouse, a global trading hub. As a Japanese citizen, what traditions, history, and unique perspectives do you think you brought to your customs work?
Well, it's an interesting question because this is an island country, so it's more on the seaport, maritime, and air transport that Japan was specialized. And perhaps these are the easier area for introducing IT technology, computerization compared to land borders. So in 1970s, Japan has already started that computerization of custom procedures. So in that sense, Japan was well advanced in using technology. But also, another thing that I was able to bring was the integrity, because in terms of anti-corruption, Japan has a strong culture of integrity, and so that was another good area. And also, at that time, Japan has been a big donor, one of the biggest donors for the world economy, for developing countries. And as I was a supervisor, budgetary supervisor for that aid policy, I think I was able to bring that capacity building, how to implement on the ground. So these are the areas that I was able to bring. And also in Japan, customs is not only revenue collection, because as a developed country, the share of revenue was not that high, but still, of course, still important, but more on facilitation and compliance, facilitation to support more trade, and compliance to protect citizens in the island. That were the major function. This is, I think this was beneficial for me to bring to WCO for its contribution.
Just as a side note, why is it easier to implement new technology in sea and air borders than it is in land borders?
Because the trade volume, as you know, vessel Well, early 1970s, there was containerization. Mm-hmm. I often call that later 20th century. It's the era of containerization. Mm-hmm. And why globalization occurred? Because of the containerization, which started after the 1960s, 70s, and also IT technology, because in that way communication has become easier. So in terms of logistics, at that time, just in time was really Japan's strong part. So as industry, therefore customers should adapt to that really fast clearance, but also protecting compliance. That means use of technology, IT, and containerization. Whereas land borders, yes, there are containers, but not a small quantity by trucks, not a huge container ship. And the same applies to the air cargo. So I think that is why, in a way, Japan was able to implement, to focus, concentrate its technological advancement to maritime and air transport.
Understood. That's excellent. You mentioned the delicate balance between facilitation, in other words, making more trade happen, and compliance, protecting citizens from wrongdoing, dangerous materials, and so on. And that obviously requires customs administrations on the one hand, but also corporations and even national governments all to cooperate, to collaborate openly and transparently. And that's an incredible challenge to make that happen, isn't it? What are the challenges that you ran into in getting all of these different parties to trust each other and to collaborate? And what are some of the cases in which they refuse to do so?
My experience is based on national experience in Japan. Right. And for facilitation, I talked about the early use of information technology. But in the compliance, facilitation, compliance, you said balance, but we call it more integration of trade facilitation and trade compliance into one procedure. And risk management is the key, and also compliance of traders is another key. Therefore, how to nurture compliance culture in the trading sector, private sector is important. And fortunately, there was a kind of trust between the private sector and the public sector at that time. And also, you talked about other government agencies. And Japan has implemented single window approach at a very early stage, and usually customs, not only Japan but globally, customs is most advanced in introducing information technology. Therefore, Japan's case was extending its computer system to other government agencies and offer them the service to them. Of course, at the outset, it was not that easy, and because other government agencies, I'm talking about more on regulatory agencies, transport and trade and health, etc., they are suspicious that accepting a customs extension IT of IT system might affect their capability of doing their own computerization. But we said that you can develop your own system, but we'll do interface. So that your purpose of facilitating legitimate trade will be nearly honored, but at the same time, detecting illicit trade or suspicious one or irregular one that they could really benefit. So this is on the regulatory agency ministry side, and another is law enforcement agencies, police, etc. And customs and police are, in general, in many countries, they are, there is a cooperation, but also tension or competition, because whenever there are seizures and arrest, it is important who get the credit. Is it customs or police? So what I have done as head of enforcement was to visit as many local prefectural police heads and try to nurture trust. So this is how I tried to get them on our side. And this is all, of course, this is an ongoing process. And, I talked about the case in Japan, but when I visit other countries, I always observe the same challenges. So this is rather universal. And this is why I try to get, better cooperation with, for example, Interpol, the police, and International Maritime Organization, or International Civil Aviation Organization, that transport area, and the trade area, of course, WTO, but UN's related agencies, WHO and others. We try to get coordination and cooperation with those international organizations to encourage our members, customers and their clients or their partners more dialogue and cooperation.
Nurturing trust and overcoming suspicions is a recurrent theme, isn't it? When you go from private to public sector and from different agencies, as you say. So having you be a sort of a diplomat of cooperation and coordination and nurturing trust is an invaluable one. And we need more of those diplomats who build bridges rather than walls. Yeah. Speaking of bridges and walls, another theme of PenCP is to try to bridge the gap between public and private spheres in technology development. In other words, finding ways to reach researchers in academia or in tech startups and have them work on the biggest customs innovations and the biggest challenges to customs. Do you have tips for how to encourage cooperation and coordination between customs administrations on the one hand and research in academia or startups on the other?
Yes, sure. And customs should be always vigilant and looking at what kind of technology is available. So we constantly initially we called it disruptive technology. Disruptive in the sense of disrupting usual business model. But now disruptive model has emerged. So we call it more on emerging technology and how we see the potential for customs to use those technologies. And then usually technologies come not from customs, but first the private sector use that. So we have to address that issue with the private sector. In the end, what we need is private sector's cooperation and also how to bridge private sector's technology to public sector's technology. And for that, we encourage researchers, universities and institutes, and also startups. One example is that now we are implementing our data strategy. And one pillar is that that cooperative approach or collaborative approach between startups, universities, research institute, and customs, how to use data and what kind of technology can help. Well, speaking of technology, there are many, disruptive or more of emerging technologies. So at first, we looked at blockchain technology, and we encouraged the members to go to private sector, that the private sector, forms its own blockchain, but how customs can, have access to that. Because from custom point of view, what we need is data. And because our risk management is based on data. Therefore, how to get data from a blockchain is important. And also, when we get data, of course, more recently, e-commerce, it is about for customs, how to get data from e-commerce is important, because unlike containers, I said that container was the late 21st century was the period era of container, but the 21st century increasingly it is the era of packages or parcels, and smaller and smaller, and also those who are involved in those small packages or parcels, they are consumers or small and medium sized enterprise. So how to get them on board and try to ensure their compliance by getting data is very important. And therefore, in this area as well, we work with, we try to use as many technologies as possible. For example, when small packages arrive, usual huge X-ray machine is not necessary. Arranged for that purpose. So we work with private sector, scanning sector, to come up with new solutions, but also how to use that image data for risk management, risk analysis using AI. Because at one time I saw that all scanning scanners and scanned images behind the sea, there are many officers and experts watching at monitors, but that is not very well efficient. So rather AI by machine learning, AI understand that and eliminate which are totally white, no problem, low risk, and focus on targeting high risk one and bring them to human eyes. That is what we want. So there are many areas of technological application to the new era of customs and trade flow.
Hmm. Yes, the words AI and machine learning, one hears those a lot, and as you say, the promise of them in improving the way in which customs is done, speeding up and making more accurate, is incredible. But there are also times when I think those terms are kind of thrown around without a lot of rigor and a lot of understanding. Another buzzword I hear a lot is blockchain. And I was wondering, the recent trade lens, the IBM Maersk blockchain enabled global trading platform, which didn't work out. The failure of this project, despite major partners, and despite an obvious need for such a platform. What can we learn from this, and what should we do the next time around to make that such a project work?
Well, there are several elements that we learned. Blockchain is distributed ledger, so that means it's decentralized system, whereas custom is one of central authority. So how to make it functional is quite often I discussed with many heads of customs that I asked to look at blockchain, and they came back that that is difficult, and also trust issue, because data should be a quality one. But if that data is going through blockchain is not a quality one, that causes a problem. And garbage in, garbage out comes. Mm-hmm. And also, obviously, private sector has, merit, in using blockchain, how customs can, they want to increase, benefit of, using blockchain in logistics, how customs can support, or customs have problems. That is what we have to identify more. Yeah, more talk would be necessary. And also, in general, blockchains, there are many blockchains, and what are the harmonized data that customers want? How they can harmonize data within blockchain? That was another issue that occurred. And in a way, we are waiting that, once blockchain is really used and becoming a major, WCO can contribute with standardization of data set for blockchain. But as you said, didn't occur, because before that, there are so many questions had a problem. And also, blockchain itself causes a problem. Quite often when we hear blockchain, it is about cryptocurrency. And nowadays, mention the problem of effect on environment, etc. So blockchain, etc., causes in the future very helpful vision, but in the short term we encountered problems. Therefore, I see that many customers are now using underlying blockchain technology, but not blockchain itself, but the underlying blockchain technology to connect those partners. It is a useful one, so we can use that. But customers didn't really adhere fully to the proposed blockchain because of the benefit for customs, and also customs mission is not only facilitating but also compliance, and how blockchain can help compliance part was another question that was raised.
This concludes the first part of my Pencast conversation with Dr. Kunio Mikuriya, former Secretary General of the World Customs Organization. Tune in soon for the second half of our talk. Thank you.